Hi everyone, today I get the privilege of sharing with you on gratitude and thanksgiving, and my hope is that it will remind us about the God that we serve, who He is, what He has done, and who we are, and in turn that it will stir gratitude and thanks to pour out of us individually and as a community. We'll be finishing the service with communion because communion to me is this visible, physical representation of the goodness and the enduring love of God that He has for us, and it's our opportunity to come to Him with thanksgiving and thank Him for what He has done. Over the last few weeks as a community, we have been looking at Psalm 100, and it's the Thanksgiving Psalm, and I thought it would be a great psalm to focus today around, as it tells of the God that we serve. It tells of what He has done and who we are. We're going to read it together, and you'll notice that on the screen there'll be some little annotations. And I've written there as a way of structuring what this psalm was about and why it was written. It's based around two summons and two motivations. The summons, the thing that it's asking us to do, and then the motivation, the why. So as we read together, and as you see it on the screen, I wonder whether you'll be able to pick up what the summons is and the motivation. So let's read Psalm 100 together. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. So you can see that this psalm has the summons, which was the call to praise, to bring thanksgiving, to worship and to serve. And the motivation was because of who God was, for what He has done and who we are. Contextually, Psalm 100 is the conclusion to a little section of psalms that were grouped together called the Enthronement Psalms. And these were the psalms that celebrated God as King. They were almost like a coronation process, and it was all about acknowledging that God was King and sovereign over all of the earth. And so Psalm 100 draws upon these psalms and brings them together to create the Psalm of Thanksgiving, this song of thanksgiving. And it was there to remind the people every year they would use this psalm as part of their festivals. And when there was a king to herald in, this was a psalm that they would use. So it has a rich history with the people of bringing thanksgiving. And what I love about this psalm, though, it's full of joy and shouting of praise and thanksgiving, but it was not sung by people who were not acquainted with grief or sorrow. Their history was marked with slavery, with wars, with roaming the desert for 40 years. They knew of hardship. They went into exile. So they were not a people who weren't in the midst of grief or sorrow. Each year when they sung, there would have been grief and sorrow. Those in exile would have felt that deeply. But still, the summons was to come into praise because of who God was. So let's focus on who God is, who He was to the people and who He is to us now. Verses 1 to 3 of this psalm is the first summons and motivation. The joy, the word joy that is used in that first verse is the same word that is used to express a triumphant call or a battle cry. This was their way of saying, this is our God who is victorious and is our King. When this psalm was written, it was written set amongst nations who had many gods. The Israelite people were surrounded by multiple gods. So when they sing a song that says, the Lord, know that the Lord is God, worship the Lord, it wasn't just kind of saying, oh, the Lord is God. It was a declaration and a political statement that said, our God, Yahweh, He is the King. He is the one who saves. He is the great I am. He is the one that has gone before us and protected us and led us, and he will continue to do so. He is the one that we submit our lives to. And in doing so, they deny every other God. It's the same when we bring our thanksgiving and we declare who God is. We deny all the other things that we've maybe put in front of God, and we say, Lord, you are the maker of all things, and I am not. And part of thanksgiving is acknowledging that we are not self-made, that we are not the ones who have created our lives. This psalm even talks about that we are his. We didn't make ourselves. And thanksgiving is the ultimate submission and the reordering and reorienting of our lives towards the one who did make us. And that is the joy of thanksgiving, that we refocus ourselves back to who our God is. God is also revealed as the shepherd. And it's a beautiful harking back to Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. And the people acknowledge that they are the sheep. And this isn't just a nice metaphor that the psalmist used. It was a specific choice because it made the Israelites recall their history, the memories of who they were, that God was the one who led them from captivity. He fed them, he protected them, and he guided them. So when it says that he is our shepherd and we are his sheep, it was a specific memory to encourage the thanksgiving again. Thanksgiving cannot always be easy, and in our lives and in the things that we struggle, the seasons that we're in, it can be very hard to bring thanksgiving. But the beautiful thing about God being our shepherd is that he walks with us in those moments where it's hard to bring thanksgiving. He walks with us and he guides us and he protects us. And again, as we offer our thanksgiving, we reorient ourselves back to our shepherd. So for us, we can recall the memories of who God is, and for each one of us, we will have different memories and we will have different titles that we will give God. God, my refuge. God, my strength. God, our ever-present help in time of need. God, my defender, protector. God, the one who's close to the brokenhearted. God, our joy and our hope. This is the beauty of who God is, and this is the joy that the psalm talks about, that this is our God. He is all of these things, Yahweh. And I hope that this stirs within you, that you will recount memories of the goodness of God and who he is. Which leads us to, what has he done? The second summons and motivation is centered around what God has done. In verse 5, it says, "For the Lord is good, and his love endures, and his faithfulness continues through all generations." What strikes me about this, we come together as the body of Christ because the Lord is good, and his love was so great that he sent his only son, Jesus, to come and to die a sinner's death so that we would be free from sin, so that the power of death and of sin would no longer have hold on us because Christ has set us free. This is what he has done. Paul puts it this way in Colossians 1:12. "And I pray that you will learn to give thanks to the Father who has made you fit to share the inheritance of God's holy ones in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. He is the one in whom we have redemption and forgiveness of sins." This is what we have to be grateful for what he has done. This is the evidence of his love that endures, of his goodness and of his faithfulness to each generation, that Christ's blood cleansed the altar in the heavens, that we would now forever be holy and worthy because of the blood that was shed for us, that every chain can be broken, that the lost can be found, and that all are welcome to him through Jesus Christ. And this should stir something within us to offer our thanks and gratitude for those of us who follow Jesus. this is what he's done, and this is the freedom that we have, and it is good, and it is evidence of his love that endures always. And so we come to who we are. In verse 3, the psalm acknowledges that we are the sheep of his pasture and that we are led by him. But because of the faithfulness and the goodness of God displayed through Jesus in his dying and his resurrection, we now get to be active participants in the bringing and the ushering in of his kingdom. In 1 Peter 2:9, it says, "You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you might declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." A vocation that was once only for a minority of people, and even in that, a small group, the Levites as these priests, has now been opened up to all of us who follow Christ, and we are charged to bring his goodness and his mercy and his love to others. We now get to freely enter into the presence of God. When we gather together, we become his temple and his spirit dwells within us. And this is good news, and again should bring forth thanksgiving. We get to sit here, go out, go to work, be with our family, knowing that God is with us. There is no longer a veil in between us and God, but he dwells with us, and we get to be his image on this earth to bring restoration and hope. This is good news that should bring forth thanksgiving. So what is our summons and motivation? Just like in Psalm 100, we have a summons and a motivation, and Paul says it so well in Colossians 3:17. He says, "So whatever you do, in word or in action, do everything in the name of the Master Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father." It's that simple. Our summons is to give thanks to God in all we do throughout our life. And the motivation is because of who God is, for the wonderful things that he has done through Jesus, and for who we are now because of it.